Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Red Men Weekly podcast, the show where we bring you the best clips from our Red Men Plus content from the last week or so. And if you want these shows in full, redmenplus.com is the place to be. There's a special offer right now, a Black Friday deal. If you sign up as a yearly Captain subscriber, if you use the promo code REDS, R-E-D-S, when you sign up, you'll get a massive 50% off. So you'll get an entire year's worth of content for half price. This Black Friday deal only runs very, 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 very short run time on this one. So if you want to get involved now. Use that code REDS if you join up as a yearly captain, and yeah, 50% off an entire year's worth of Liverpool content as we touch wood, win a league title. Europa League, a couple of cups, loads and loads of brilliant features, some special stuff coming out over the Christmas period. Go and get yourselves involved, and of course listen to these shows that I'm about to bring you clips from, the first of which is the Biased Football Podcast. Yes, we don't often talk about other clubs on this show, on this channel rather, once a week we do it, the Biased Football Podcast. It gives us a chance to delve into other topics. This week you've got Chris, Chloe and Dan having a chat about Man City, Liverpool's upcoming opponents, and trying to figure out how many points that City side are going to get between now and Christmas to see if Liverpool may or may not be in a title hunt by the time the festive period is over.
We're here to talk about some of the rivals, I suppose, and the fixtures over the next sort of month. We've fresh off the back of the Originals podcast where we looked at Liverpool's fixtures for the next sort of 11 games. We're going to put that into a bit of context with everybody else's, I suppose. Now, if we go through Liverpool's again, on the 25th of November, Man City play Liverpool. Then we've got LASK, then we've got Fulham, Sheffield United, Palace, Union Saint-Gilloise, Man United, West Ham in the Carabao, Arsenal and then Burnley before Newcastle on the 1st of January. Should we go through City's first?
Yes.
You reckon? You can go to my screen here, mate. It's not a problem whatsoever. In fact, I might just change it on you dead quick, so you can see everybody's all at once. I mean, I've done it now. you missed that. You may as well have just stayed with it. City obviously play us. Then they've got Leipzig in a game that probably doesn't really matter too much, I don't think. Spurs, Villa away, Luton away. Oof. Red Star away, that's definitely not going to matter. Palace at home, a Club World Cup. Possible, is it still two games in the Club World Cup? They're going to get through the semi and then
yeah,
they get
the final.
Yeah,
have, yeah.
Brentford's been postponed. Look at that, I even did a strike through on my Excel sheet. Everton versus City and then City versus Sheffield United. Now, on the face of things, it's not a terribly tough fixture list for Man City. The first three are hard though, Chloe.
Yeah, obviously Spurs, Aston Villa, who was the one after that?
Luton away.
Difficult. Yeah. Ah, difficult place to go, kind of.
Yeah, I'm not having it.
Not every team can win there.
Spurs and Aston Villa, I'll give them a go. But the thing is, I say Spurs, but Spurs have got about 7 injuries, and really, we could have done without
still
that
less
happening.
Games than they've got over the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
They've only got 8 games.
Mm-hmm. Well, but they're missing some big players. Mickey van der Ven is massive for them, by the way. So that one isn't actually as tough as we all thought it probably would be. Aston Villa is the very, very tough one. Is that away from home?
Yeah.
that, yeah, Villa Park. I'd bet on Villa coming out with Sutton there. They're unbelievable at home under Unai Emery. Fantastic manager. So, yeah, that is the real tough one. But for some reason in my head, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I said, oh, they've got like some really tough games, don't they? But theirs, compared to our lead up to Christmas, looks like a walk in the park.
They've had them tough games, haven't they? I think Chelsea, it's the Chelsea one. Yeah, they played the Manchester derby recently, albeit not particularly tough, yeah, as it turned out. But on paper, it looked like a little difficult run. They've come through that. Not unscathed, because obviously dropped points to Chelsea. But for me, it's really interesting. And it makes this game at the weekend all the more important, because let's just say we can win or even draw this game. All of a sudden, they're next to... granted, I'll take your point on Spurs. It's absolutely the right one. They're next to a Spurs and Aston Villa. The chance they drop more points there. Whereas us, we've got... I'm reluctant to call it a buffer, especially given our Achilles heel have been these type of fixtures in recent times. But the Sheffield United, the Fulham and the Crystal Palace games aren't the Newcastle United and Arsenal game thereafter, are they? So if we do take something off City in the weekend, there's a chance they drop points thereafter and we could feasibly win those three games of football. So well, and that, all of a sudden it's a different picture then.
Well, that's it, because we obviously play City the 25th of November. We play Fulham on the 3rd after LASK at home. They've got RB Leipzig at home. Then they've got Spurs at City when we play Fulham at home. And then Sheffield United host us, Villa host City. And then on the 9th for us, Palace v Liverpool. On the 10th for them, Luton v Manchester City.
So that's midweek away at Villa as well.
Yeah,
it is.
That's even more interesting. Where's Sheffield United
midweek?
Do they
play on the Wednesday? Do they play on the Wednesday?
We both play on the 6th. I didn't put days in.
Okay, yeah, it's the Wednesday.
But that being a midweek adds something else for me, because you're right, Villa Park has become a bit of a fortress again. Their record there is absolutely outstanding. Add in the fact it's midweek, the atmosphere will be better, under lights, all that type of stuff, and they're welcoming, you know, the wronged champions of the Premier League. Yeah,
it's December, that's a big one. Everyone gets more excited around Christmas time.
And then I think for us, 14th of December, we're going to go away to USG. We should hopefully have the group wrapped up by then, and it should be a dead rubber before we play Manchester United. They'll have the group wrapped up if they've not already. I mean, they're pretty much guaranteed to go through already, Man City, aren't they?
Yep.
They'll probably have it wrapped up against Leipzig on the 28th of November. They'll definitely have it, I think, wrapped up by the 13th of December in Red Star. We're coming back to United, but at least it's at home, and they're coming back to Palace. Now, the interesting thing here is, we've got 11 games. They've got 10 in the books, potentially 11 with a final of the Club World Cup. Obviously, the Premier League fixtures getting booted down the ways. Now, our game is, we've got Arsenal on the 23rd. That's when their postponed game comes in. We play on the 20th and the 23rd. Mm-hmm. They play on the 19th and not again until the 27th, obviously, because they've got to travel.
Yeah,
to wherever the Club World Cup is nowadays.
Is it in Saudi?
Is it in Saudi Arabia?
Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's in Saudi on top of my head. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing, though. I see that as an opportunity, as opposed
to
a negative.
The points in the bank.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, especially with all the home fixtures we've got around that time. We were talking about Liverpool at home earlier on, and I see that as a massive opportunity for us. And you can't also envisage, and you might well do, that Manchester City will be as dominant a force as we were when we came back from the Club World Cup. It can take something out of you, you know what I mean? That type of travel, that type of intense game, that sort of stuff. And we happen to come back and play Leicester and absolutely obliterate them, but there's not a given that Man City will be able to do that either. So I see them being in the Club World Cup as a real positive for Liverpool. If we are in touching distance by the time this comes around, or even a point ahead of them, whatever, having two games unanswered from their perspective would be massive for us. It could be.
I suppose thinking further forwards as well, Chloe, like, look, I think Liverpool are going to go very far in the Europa League. But I don't think it's going to take as much out of us to get to the final of the Europa League as it could take out of Manchester City to get to the Champions League final, which is obviously at the back end of the season.
Yeah, we've spoken about this quite a bit. It feels like you can still make rotations in the Europa League. And even then, like, from the fact that we've been able to rotate so much in the group stage, kind of saves you for the later stages, where in the Champions League, it feels like every game you've got to put out your starting 11 or very close to your starting 11. The calibre of teams in the Champions League is a lot bigger than the calibre of teams in the Europa League, and them actually going deep in that Champions League might actually benefit Liverpool in a way. And like you mentioned, like, us going far in the Europa League might actually benefit us in terms of playing that many games week in and week out, just because we're used to it. But you've got to also maintain and try and not get any injuries, keep everyone fit, which City somehow have done miraculously the past several seasons. But yeah, it is a different force, Champions League. They're going to come up against better teams, higher-rated opponents, which hopefully can land a couple of blows on them and make sure that they have to put out strong teams week in, week out. Yeah.
It's not just that as well. It's the fact that you want them to be tested week in, week out in those games. If they just cruise through games and it's over by the 60th, 70th minute, they can start taking lads off, then it kind of loses all negative impact it might have. But if they do get into the knockout phase of Champions League, which they obviously will do, and they are tested once or twice and a couple of teams do land a blow, all of a sudden they need to go to the well that little bit extra in a game, and that might have a knock-on effect for what happens at the weekend and so on and so forth. But for Liverpool's perspective, I think it's massively important that we carry on through the cups, because winning breeds winning for a start. You mentioned the word momentum, absolutely pivotal in all this. But what it does as well is it allows us to keep some of the fringe lads sharp, which could be our X factor later on down the line. Because if you've got likes of Harvey Elliott, Curtis Jones, or even a couple of the lads who aren't necessarily always part of the front three, if they're really sharp and they're in form and they're scoring goals, who knows what type of impact they could have in a Premier League game further down the line. I think that's massively important, whereas City, for all their strengths, and they're ridiculous, might not have that. If they do need to rely on a Calvin Phillips come March, he might not play footy for 6 months by that point. So I think it bodes really well.
Is there a game in hand, Brentford?
Yeah,
it would at be home or away?
At home.
See, Brentford, like later on in the season, because that's obviously going to be postponed, later on in the season, Brentford at home, they got beat by them last season. So that is not an easy fixture, where you mentioned if you've got those points in the bank, there's a lot of pressure on Manchester City, and we know they've dealt with the pressure. They know how to. But Brentford might have something to say about it, and Thomas Frank against top six opponents is actually quite good.
Okay, we're going to do something I hadn't planned. We're going to assign points for all the Premier League games as we go along here, just to see where we are.
Okay.
Right, there's three of us,
yeah.
So we should be able to get to a consensus,
okay.
I think. Liverpool versus City, Liverpool's points from that game.
Can we just say one?
Oh, yeah, one.
Three. So yous win, one.
Yeah.
Therefore, Man City gets 1 point as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Liverpool versus Fulham at
three.
Home.
Three. Yeah, three.
Three. Man City versus Spurs.
At the Etihad, is
three.
That?
At the Etihad.
Yeah, they take all three, yeah.
Okay. See, I think one, but I'm going
to... I think Spurs' injury problems are too big.
Yeah.
Sheffield United versus Liverpool. Bear in mind, this is midweek... away from home, 3 days after we've just beaten Fulham.
We scraped through, but my God, is it ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the 3 points there as well. Villa, midweek.
One.
Yeah.
I think they get beat. But, again, you two are completely in sync. One. Palace versus Liverpool on the 9th.
It's tough.
Now we take all three.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think performs well. A title type esque performance, one of them.
I think we draw that one.
No, I was about to. I'm the consensus to drawing, you know.
I've just given us a title, but yeah, you two. You know, when we went there and won the league, and Villa likewise,
yeah,
that type of game.
Did you see us last season? It was the most boring football I've ever seen.
So you're going for one.
What day is it? And even
Saturday.
Half
12 Saturday.
Half 12?
Yeah, not on international basis, half 12 on a Saturday.
It's definitely a one then for me.
Yeah, it's one.
Okay.
Luton host
three.
Manchester City.
Just three.
Pick a score.
Okay.
7-0.
Right. Right.
Liverpool versus United on the 17th. I say three.
Oh, yeah, three, yeah. I lost myself.
Man City host Palace. 3 days after they've travelled to Red Star Belgrade.
Funny, I've got a funny thing about Palace and Man City.
Do you remember Andros Townsend?
Townsend volley.
Yeah.
One.
Three.
None.
Oh, stop it, Chris.
So we'll just go down the middle.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
It's just not correct.
Liverpool beat Arsenal.
Yes, at Anfield.
Yeah. I'll go with it.
Liverpool beat Burnley. Away. On the 26th, after playing on the 23rd.
Yeah.
They've got to. Everyone beats Burnley.
Oh,
although they are just
Chris.
Coming up. And we're not very good against those sides.
No, we do. We do. It's ugly again. Real ugly. Canate winner.
Everton beat City?
No.
Come on, guys.
No. Is it Anderson Park?
Yeah. The FFP derby. That could be massive.
Yeah. 27.
It's three, but I'll go with one if you really want to.
The old sustainability grudge match.
you can put three on one.
Sorry, three, they'll beat him.
Three?
Yeah.
But then they'll get a deduction of how many points. Okay, Man City beat Sheffield United at home.
Yes.
Yes.
And Liverpool playing Newcastle on the 1st of Jan.
We win.
Yeah,
that.
We win.
Okay, let's have a little goosey gander.
I reckon, off the top of my head, I think we're top by 4 points.
Okay.
With how many games in hand?
Oh.
We'll have a
one or two. How many games will they have? One or two.
We'll have a game. They'd have a game in hand, wouldn't they, by then?
Just I don't one.
Know. Yeah, we have the one game in hand there, don't we?
I feel like you give them one more fixture.
Oh,
period,
no, yeah. I've got rid of my formula bar here. Right. This is
live telly, everyone.
Shit show. Right, we gain... Oh my God, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 20 points. 1, 4, 5, 8, 9, plus 6. They gain 15 points.
Ooh, so you're 4
why
ahead.
Have we done this?
20 and 15, I think that is. So we go 4 points ahead, but they've got a game in hand on us.
I mean,
yeah, that's beautiful.
I'd take that.
Take me due there, yeah. By the way.
Cheers to Chris, Chloe and to Dan for that one. Moving on, it's Journo Inside Time with Neil Jones. This week it was Dan Club filling in for me as the host. And yes, the two guys chatted about Gonçalo Inácio linked with a move to Liverpool earlier in the week. The sporting defender, one of the hottest names on the defensive market. So yeah, Dan and Neil had a big old chat about that.
Gonçalo Inácio, still his name continues to be linked with a move to Anfield. The latest report comes from Team Talk, who said Liverpool are the favourites to sign Gonçalo Inácio amongst interest from Real Madrid and Manchester United. Again, 22-year-old, his release clause is around the £52.5 million mark, which obviously was increased in the summer when he signed a new contract. I guess the way to start here is that I guess you could talk about Liverpool's interest and whether it was genuine to someone or not, whether you heard anything on that, but also has the need stroke desire for this type of player diminished at all? Obviously, we've seen the resurgence, if it needed to happen, of Virgil van Dijk. He's back to his best. There's no two ways about that. So that slot, that space in the side is kind of done now, if it wasn't already. And also, I guess when Robertson's fit, the need for a left-back to do it as well has kind of gone a little bit because he was so good to start the season.
Yeah, and you've got obviously the emergence of Jarrell Kwanzaa as well as a... Yeah. Potentially a first-team player, and it still is potentially. You know, he's doing really well, but he's got steps to make, clearly. I think Liverpool still needs centre-back. Maybe plural, going forward. You know, you've got obviously Joel Matip coming to the end of his contract, coming to the end of his top level shelf life, I would say. Yep. I think you've still got some questions over Konaté.
Oh,
I think Konaté's an excellent player and potentially a real top European defender, but you've got to keep him fit and he's got to improve actually on what he's shown in the first part of this season, in my opinion. You know, I don't think it's been a terrible start, but I think it's not one that's convinced anyone that you've said, well, there you go, Konaté's in the team. I think the fact that if you said to me now, what's the team for Saturday? I'd be, well, Matip, Konaté, I'd be on the fence.
Matip's got the team a little bit,
yeah,
season, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Matip's had some really good games this season. You know, you would have hoped by now that Konaté would have been almost, you know, inked in alongside Van Dijk. I think Liverpool still need to buy a centre back. It might be that case that they do it before the event, so they do it in January, you know, a la Diaz, Gakpo sort of type of signing, which lends itself to, if you've got a release clause, it makes it a lot easier. Inácio, he's a left-sided centre back. He's a left, you know, he can play left back. He's a centre back, really, isn't he? I think, you know, he's gonna end up playing at centre back. That does bring with it a problem, obviously, if you spend £50 million on a player who plays in the same position as Virgil. Not that it's impossible to play a left footer at right side of centre back or move it. I don't expect Liverpool would do that necessarily. But he's definitely a player that at 22 playing in a team like Sporting. Playing for Portugal, you know, I think he'll be part of their squad for the Euros. I think he might even be part of their team for the Euros. He's clearly got a move in him soon, you would expect. Mm-hmm. They've got another centre back, I think Diamande, is he? Who plays alongside him, who's also been linked with, I think Chelsea have been linked with him. So yeah, there's a few players there at Sporting, as there always seems to be, Sporting, Benfica, Porto, that are, you know, in line for a move. I think the question will be how highly do Liverpool rate him in particular? I think there's no question they need a centre back. Is he the one? I don't think they were ever close to signing him in the summer. I don't think they were close to signing any centre back in the summer at that time. Whether that's changed for January, at the moment I'd be surprised, but you know, if an opportunity emerges, as it did with Luis Diaz, as it did with Cody Gakpo, then potentially.
Interesting. Okay, I want to touch on the contract as well, because they've been talking about, I actually put this in the agenda prior to a report coming out. I was going to ask you about Trent and Mo, because they've been sort of linked or rumoured to be in line for new deals in not too distant future, albeit the Mo Salah conversation is a bit more complicated. But since that, there's been a report from Football Transfers about Virgil van Dijk and Jurgen Klopp potentially being in line. Or Liverpool have a plan to give those two new deals. I think we'd all like to see it, wouldn't we, the minimum?
Yeah, Van Dijk got what, another year after this?
He's 25.
Yeah, 2025. I think the resurgence he's had in terms of form. And, you know, I remember speaking to someone around Liverpool about Van Dijk. I started last season and sort of said, you know, do you start having to think about Van Dijk's you know, succession plan, if you like, you know, with him maybe getting into his 30s? And so, well, he's still, even the fact that he's dominant in the air, so dominant in the air, and he's always, you know, he's a good passer of the ball, that gives him the ability to play. You know, okay, he might struggle playing, you know, three games a week or those kind of things, but Van Dijk's sort of a defender that can go into his sort of mid to late 30s, a bit Thiago Silva, if you like, you know, because of the attributes that he's got. So I think Liverpool would, I don't think it's a case of Liverpool saying, oh, he's 33, that's, you know, that's too much for a contract. I think the question would be sort of, how many years did he give? You know, they've obviously been burnt a little bit with someone like Jordan Henderson, probably got a contract that was too big for, or too long for his worth. I think Van Dijk's a little bit different. I think with the position he plays, the type of player that he is, the fact that he's a club captain, I think there's no question Liverpool would extend that deal 1 or 2 years. Klopp, I haven't heard anything around a sort of an extension for Klopp, and I think the bottom line to say is, what does he want? Yeah. I think that'll be the decision that will be made with Klopp. Does he want to do it? And if he does, then Liverpool will be mad not to extend the contract, really. And that was the case with the one at 2022, wasn't it? Where, you know, I think Liverpool got wind that he's quite enjoying life and said, do you fancy it? You know,
yeah.
He does feel a little bit, doesn't he, that he's, I won't say he's got a second wind, but he's definitely, he's definitely loving life at the moment, isn't he?
He spoke about it himself, Liverpool too.
Yeah, and you know, especially the way it's gone in the first part of this season, and if it was to continue, you know, Liverpool might not win anything this season, but they're going in the right direction. Even if they don't, aren't they? You know, you're still looking at them thinking, oh, they're not far away, and you know, if they get one or two pieces into place, they could be. So, yeah, I wouldn't be amazed if someone was starting to probe and ask questions and say, what do you think? You know, how are you loving it? Yeah, exactly. And Germany have just got a new coach, so that's sort of been taken away from the short term, at least. I think that'd be a lovely boost. And I know you mentioned Salah and Trent. They're two others, aren't they? I think that, you know, we've got Trent obviously 1 year left after this one as well. I think that needs sorting. I don't expect that to be a problem. Yeah. Salah's a really interesting one, of course, isn't he? You know, with everything that's going on, I don't think we'll be seeing him leave in January. The question's going to be asked about Saudi in the summer, of course. It was floated to me on another show that, well, surely there's a sort of a deal that suits everyone of a little extension, but it was a very hard deal to do the first one. It's a deal that's good enough to be in the Harvard Business School because of the length and the breadth of the negotiations. So, yeah, I think buckle yourselves in if Liverpool are going to try and renew that one.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Christmas is coming now, Liverpool Football Club, if you want to give us a gift or two.
Absolutely. Well, I always remember, didn't Klopp sign a contract extension? Was it around the time there was a general election? And I'm sure Liverpool put it out the day after the Klopp stay, and it was almost like, there you go.
If there is
a time, I think December might be the time.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Cheers to Dan and cheers to Neil for that one. We're sticking on the transfer theme with expert insights. This is Dan's regular show and of course he hosted it once again. He was joined by Andre Salgado because Liverpool have been linked with another player. Lucas Beraldo has been linked with a move to the Reds this January as well. So Dan asked Andre all about Beraldo.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Redmen TV and your latest transfer insight. My name is Dan Club. I will be your host for this one as ever. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Liverpool and Sao Paulo fan Andre Salgado for this one. Andre, how are you doing, mate? You okay?
I'm doing okay. First of all, I want to say that I am delightful with the invite and the pleasure here is all mine.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. Don't be like that. It's absolutely our pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. It really is much appreciated. I mentioned Liverpool and the Sao Paulo fan, quite clearly a Liverpool fan from what we can see. But the Sao Paulo element is interesting in all of this because Liverpool have been linked with quite a lot of Brazilian lads actually recently, but one in particular plays for Sao Paulo, Lucas Beraldo. There's been quite a lot of links in the past couple of weeks, especially, but they go back a little bit further than that. A couple of months ago, it all started. I mean, the first place to start, really, Andre, is have you been surprised by Liverpool being linked? Obviously, you watch a lot of Liverpool, you watch a lot of Sao Paulo. He's still very young, of course. We'll talk about him as a player. But has it shocked you, the fact that Liverpool might be looking at this kid?
Yeah, I saw a tweet at August talking about that Klopp and his coaching staff snubbed Beraldo at this time, but I don't know the credibility of this font. Was just a post on Twitter. But now talking about the recent links, I am not surprised at all. Because me and my friends, since Beraldo's debut in São Paulo senior team, we were prepared to see him leaving at the end of the season. That is December for us.
Yeah.
So it's sad. It's happy at the same time. Sad for São Paulo, happy for Liverpool. And I hope this comes true.
Yeah, absolutely. It must be a really interesting one for you because obviously the worlds of São Paulo and Liverpool don't cross that often, really. But obviously in this instance, they might well be. I mentioned a moment ago, obviously 19 years old. I did a little bit of research into him. You can tell us more, obviously. He made 10 appearances for the under-20 team, for Sao Paulo. He's made 48 appearances for the senior side thereafter. I mean, 48 appearances being so young, that's a lot, really. Has he always looked ready since he come into the team? Has it always been a case of, yeah, he looks first team, like, good to go?
Yeah, since his first match for the senior team, he looks ready. And he looked like a top defender for Brasileirão level since his first match. And another case of a center back from Cotia, that is São Paulo Youth Development, it's Belém, that debuted like, I don't know if it was 1 month after Beraldo. And like every young player, Belém was not constant, but Beraldo was constant like the first minute he's played. and to the last game, like last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and he's got Brazil under 20 caps as well and stuff like that. He hasn't made any sort of impact on the senior team at national level yet, but from what sort of is spoken about with him and sort of the vibe you're getting down there in Brazil, is sort of a senior call or possible, do you think, in the future? Maybe not for a couple of years, but is that sort of the pathway he looks to be on? Has he been impressive in the under 20 stuff as well?
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't watch a lot of games him at the Brazilian under 20. And São Paulo didn't release him on the last two call-ups. One for the Sul-Americano, that Brazil won. And the last one, if I'm not wrong, was in the under-20s World Cup that Uruguay won. And São Paulo didn't release him because of his level, because he was a central part of the center team. And you can see that when the team plays without him, our defense is like lost. Don't know what to do with the ball. Only long kicks for the end prey for the attackers to do something with the ball. So, and we won a title that we never won on our history. That is the Copa do Brasil. It's like the FA Cup, same thing. Mm-hmm. We didn't have it until this year, and Beraldo was part fundamental part of this title.
Well, that's pretty impressive in itself, like I say, given his age. And if Sao Paulo are already sort of saying to the Brazilian under 20 team, no, we don't want him to go, we need him to stay around, like I say, that says a lot about just how important he is, just how crucial he is to the manager's plans there. So yeah, that's a good sort of tick in the box, I guess, from Liverpool perspective. And you mentioned there you don't know what to do with a ball when he's not playing. That ties in nicely to sort of what type of player he is as well. And I did a little bit of looking into this before I spoke to you. And the scene he was described as the Joker, which I'd like you to touch upon as well. I think that was to do with him always laughing and smiling before the game starts. But it did describe him as a ball-playing centre-back. Obviously, we know he's left-footed, which is sort of where Liverpool wants to be looking. But a couple of other notes that I noticed. People mentioned he's got good composure in possession and an impressive range of passing for a centre back. Is that something you've seen as well?
Yeah. Talking about the Joker thing is that he always laughs on the national anthem. And he said that is an exercise of his psychologist, which make him enter in the field like less nervous and without any kind of anxiety. Mm-hmm. So he leaves everything there on the left, on the smile. And when he enters in the field, he enters like serious and calm. One thing about his, like for Liverpool fans to know this game, we had a perfect description that is that Virgil song. He'll pass the ball calm as you like. So yeah, that is the perfect definition of Beraldo's game. And I don't know if I'm saying this because I'm a São Paulo fan or because I see him being a world-class talent for 10 years on.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we mentioned really a couple of his strengths there, I guess, in terms of the way he plays. And one thing I did notice, which I was quite intrigued by, and maybe you can sort of tell us why this has been the case, because Liverpool have been looking for, or at least, you know, we as fans think we're looking for a left-footed centre-back who can also play left-back, because the way the system works now with Trent moving, obviously we kind of think that Andy Robertson's brilliant and has been brilliant and Kostas Tsimikas is fine and, you know, will continue to be fine. But I think we all expect us to sign a left-footed centre-back who can also play left-back. But Beraldo has never done that for Sao Paulo. Is that just because is your left-back really good and he doesn't need to? Is he just brilliant at centre-back? And I suppose, do you think he has the ability to sort of operate as a kind of left-back as well?
I don't know. Of course, it's not because of left-back. It's a top player, like the opposite, total opposite of that. I think it's because we here in São Paulo, we don't have any good options for the center back. So we need him there. We have like two very good center backs. That is him, Beraldo, and Arboleda, that plays for Ecuador. But Beraldo played like a left back and a right back on the São Paulo under 20 team. It's not his top, but he can do it very well.
Cheers to Dan and cheers to Andre for that one. And as we all know, Liverpool versus Manchester City, the big game at the weekend, to have a look ahead to that and a few other things as well. I was delighted to be joined on the opposition preview by Jordan from the City Extra YouTube channel to have a big old chat about Pep's Blues.
You mentioned the international break, and I don't know if Pep's been playing games or someone's out of the way, but half your team decided not to go on international duty. Every single one of them. Edison hasn't been injured for about 5 years, and all of a sudden he's got a sore foot. Ilan Haaland doesn't go. Then Kovacic had enough. Nathan Ake, John Stones. Honestly, we're going to see pretty much City's best team of the weekend. You'd be shocked if, obviously, De Bruyne is still going to be out. It feels like everybody else is going to be fit from the sense I get. Have City played a couple of games here, George? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I'm happy for it because I'm not a big fan of internationals, and obviously because when you go away, all these players and get injured. You look at players like Gavi, who just got an ACL injury or whatever it was. It's just another excuse for these players to get out of the Premier League. But I think you'll see Ederson definitely. I think John Stones is probably the most unlikely out of them. What that he said, potentially Kovacic would be in there. I think. It's good because it came out straight away that they've not gone, and then it's given the 2 weeks. So even if Pep was playing games, he can kind of get away with it because you've got 2 weeks and can say, oh, they've recovered in that time. I think there is some injuries there. Like I say, I think the just Stones one is a definite, and I think that's probably the most unlikely one that you'll say, which is a big loss for us massively because he changed our defence. Akanji's he's good at times, but I think everyone has the same feeling there's a mistake in him. It's just not the same when John Stones in there. And that was an issue against Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. On the Stones thing, if he doesn't play, obviously he's the one who advances into midfield. He allows you guys to do the inverted stuff. If he doesn't play, obviously Diaz, Akanji, he's still got good players. But how does the dynamic change? Does somebody else go and do it? Is it less effective? If John Stones isn't fit, he might not be. How does that change City?
So usually, well, Pep's been picking Akanji recently to do it. And he's been doing all right. I just thought it's hard to compare when you're competing against John Stones, who does it so well. Yeah. But sometimes you can see Akanji do it, and he's really good. But then I think Chelsea was one of the issues where he was getting caught out of position, kind of in no man's land, didn't really know where his position was. But he was on the left side of Diaz then. I thought, and I think I'm right in saying this, that usually when I kept, like, because when Stones inverting, he's on the right side. Don't know how much that difference that'll make, but. He looked a bit lost at times, Akanji, in the Chelsea game, and that's one thing that I'm pretty concerned about. And like I say, other City fans are. People are now starting to question whether Vardiol can step into that role, but it definitely won't be for Liverpool. There's no chance because Pep hasn't run it yet. And I think in an interview a couple of weeks ago, Pep said he's got a bit of a way to go till he can do that Stones role.
Yeah.
So you'll see Akanji basically doing that exact thing.
Yeah, no, that'll be something definitely that Liverpool seem to target. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, they'll try and get that, 100%.
Yeah, it makes sense. In terms of that, then, obviously, we're expecting probably Ellen Haaland's going to be fit. Doku's been a revelation. Obviously, on the other side, pick whoever you want. You've got about five different ones. But how do you see City's attack lineup? I think Haaland and Doku are definite, aren't they? And then it's wherever he goes. Foden, sometimes he moves Bernardo over there. How do you think City are going to line up in attack?
I think it'll be Haaland, Doku, Foden. I think that's the way I run it.
Foden's been really good against us as well. He has good games against Liverpool.
I think you'll want Bernardo in the midfield for the energy that you've got. That's the way I see that running. The only thing is, Doku, as good as he is, Pep seems to do this thing where it's Pep roulette. So Grealish plays well against big teams as well. So I think there is a chance for Grealish to step in. As fans, I think most fans want Doku in there because of how exciting he's been. And it's a player that can get at you. Yeah, especially if Trent's coming forward as well. If Trent comes forward, he leaves a space in behind for Doku. I think that's something that City could exploit.
No, absolutely. I mean, Van City, that he's actually used Foden over there a couple of times as well to try and exploit that. So you are right. It is something. I actually had a conversation the other day and I was saying, both Liverpool, we seem to do the same thing. We want to go and try and attack Kyle Walker or get in behind Kyle Walker a little bit. I think Sadio Mane caused them issues. Luis Diaz has caused them issues. Yeah. It feels like both teams' plans will be trying to win the ball back and attack down their left. Does that make sense to you as well? Feel like that?
Yeah, I see that. Well, Kyle Walker, sometimes Pep runs a tactic where Foden and Bernardo are based on the same side of the midfield and they invert a little bit, leaving space for Walker to be more attacking. And he basically, Walker's pushed forward as a right winger. So if he does that, then yeah, there'll be loads of space in behind for us to get at. But I imagine that he'd be a bit more reserved against Hughes.
Yeah, it's a fascinating tactical battle. There's just so many good players all over the pitches in the Jordan.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
It really is.
It's been an incredible era of City Liverpool for the Premier League. It's been so tight. Obviously, we've had our season where we like kind of walked the league. You had your season where you walked the league. Other than that, it's been obviously bar last year. It's been City Liverpool right to the end.
That's been amazing. It starts to feel all that bit familiar on that. Just before we look ahead, definitely a couple more things on the game. I want to ask you, the season as a whole, you've been here plenty of times before, top of the league after X amount of games, you know, 12 games, whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you compare this City side to the City side that you've seen before? Because, like I say, City dropping points in 3 out of 12 games. I mean, it's still a brilliant record, still top of the league, but it has raised a few eyebrows. Is there any differences? Is there... Maybe because, I mean, last season's team was just phenomenal. I just don't know how you're comparing this new City, which it is, because obviously a couple of new players in it, to those other City sides that Pep's had.
I think you got to look at major, major key losses, really. Like Riyad Mahrez always chipped in with goals and assists. And as much as I do feel like it was the right time for him to go, he did kind of, towards the end of the season, he became, I think it was like third choice in the wing. But I think Riyad Mahrez is a big loss because he chipped in with goals. And all this happens when, say, if Erling Haaland's not firing like this season at times, as much as he's scoring goals every game, I think everyone expects him to just do what he did last year. You got other players like who chip in. Gundogan is a massive loss in midfield for us. And we're trying to shoe on Kovacic in there, but Kovacic isn't that good going forward as opposed to what Gundogan had. And you got Nunes as well, who hasn't really played too much for us. Obviously, there's a lot of time for them players. I just think there are a few changes in there, but I do think we're playing better than last season at this stage, which comes out of City usually a second half of the season kind of team, which always sounds weird, but we come alive in that second half. That's why we usually will go on our 20 match unbeaten runs or whatever it is.
I know exactly. I know that story, mate. Yes. I know that story, trust me. Yeah. Very
too
much
familiar.
Absolutely. I had hair before Pep started.
Cheers to Jordan for coming on for that one. I hope he has a miserable weekend because I hope the Reds absolutely stuff his team, but he's still a nice guy. I'd even say I wish him all the best for the rest of the season, but that would also be a complete lie because I wish nothing but misery to Manchester City Football Club. But anyway, that is just me and my impartiality. No, it's not. It's complete bias. But anyway, forget about that. Thanks very much for listening to this episode of the Red Men Weekly Podcast. Like I say, those shows are all available in full right now over on Red Men Plus. You can get them as videos or you can get them as podcasts. And like I say, that Black Friday deal, sign up as a yearly captain, use the code REDS, REDS, and you'll get a massive 50% off. It works out at about 35 quid for an entire year's worth of content, which is absolutely a ridiculous deal. Probably too cheap, if I'm honest with you, but with Black Friday, we're getting involved with it all. So yeah, we're doing that deal for you guys. So yeah, do go and check out those amazing shows over on Red Men Plus. If you help support us, bring you the free shows just like this one and plenty of our other content. And of course, do come and join us for all the Man City stuff we've got this weekend as well. There's already a match preview out, the opposition preview that I mentioned before with Jordan. We'll be live in studio for the watch along with Paul and Chris on the YouTube channel as well, and then all the post-match content you can desire. Hopefully Liverpool finally get a win at the Etihad. We'll see you all next week on Red Men Weekly. See you in a bit.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.